Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tuesday Tips. That's threw that in there for Carter. I'm going to be your host this week, Derek, out here with two of our new members. We got Doug and Kaysen and Frank. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up, boys? How are you?
Good. A little chilly right now because it is fucking frigid. It's
very chilly.
Blister.
Windy.
Appalachia.
I like that word.
Well, let's not dick around. We need to get back to the fire. Doug, fire off a tip for us.
All right. So kind of my first big group event for hunting. Normally I'm a solo hunter. So what I have as a tip for any new guys out there is I'm, as much as I thought I was organized, brought a big husky Tupperware tote, had all my stuff in there. But really, in the end, couldn't find anything, took forever to get ready and didn't realize, I actually have to catch a ride to my stand and other people are waiting on me. So, next time I will definitely have a better organized system and know where all of my gear is.
Yeah. It's like that old Mike Tyson quote. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Like,
that's right.
We don't really know. Let's go work to get out there and test it. How about you, Kaysen?
Oh, let's see. Tip I would give is don't rely on your host. So we're out here on the farm and they've got blinds and stands set up everywhere, which I did use a fair share. But I also do a lot of saddle hunting. So I threw my saddle system in the truck and drove down, and that allowed me to hunt places that weren't regularly hunted or maybe hadn't even been hunted at all this season. Try and throw the deer off, throw them a curveball.
Yeah, definitely. Don't want to give you a lot more versatility. Getting those hard to reach places for sure. How about you, Frankie?
So my tip is, I know that we all do it. We all get lazy and lax, especially if we're traveling. But when you get to your hunting location, if you can, and I would definitely recommend making an arrangement to confirm your zero and know what your holdover is. So due to recent events that have happened here, but again, it's always part of hunting, but go into it with a little bit of the upper hand, right? So learn that weapon system, whether it's a bow or it's a muzzleloader or a rifle, just confirm your zero and practice some of your holdovers to help you become more successful and so you can do right by the animal.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that before. You owe it to that animal. If you just come out here and fucking raw dog it, like, you're not doing the animal a service. You're not doing hunters at large service. Like, you're just going out there slinging it, and it's not the right thing to do. You definitely need to test that.
And especially, I mean, for example, here, I mean, obviously it's great. But like, the people coming from 2 hours away, 12 hours away, 15 hours away, guys flying, guys driving, things get knocked around on a plane, in a truck, and like, shit happens, man. Yeah. And then like I said, we all do it. Just fucking 5 a.m. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go hunt. You just grab your shit and go. And it's like, well, I just wounded a fucking animal. Or, hey, I just missed. Why did I miss that animal at 35 yards for?
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't take much to knock that optic off. So yeah, it's that's a good tip for sure. Mine's going to be talking kind of about, when you have an animal and you take your shot and you walk up on it and you're thinking like, all right, I got a good shot. Like, why isn't there any blood? You have to think, they're not solid one piece. Like, an animal isn't chiseled out of fucking stone. It's multiple layers of tissue that are all moving at one time, and you're hitting that animal at a certain moment of time. And the chances of sometimes of those holes lining up, especially if your bullet doesn't hit bone, so it can cavitate even more, to create that large exit wound, there's a good chance it might not bleed like you think it's going to. So don't get discouraged. Kind of try and track where it goes, give it some time to bleed out. I mean, it's not everybody wants a DTR dead right there, but like, sometimes that just ain't in the cards, So, if you think you feel really good about your shot, what's your hold, don't get discouraged, because there's a good chance it was a good shot. Just those holes aren't lining up together, and that's why you're not getting the blood that you think you're supposed to have. I've had a couple issues with that, and I found actually my deer that I shot the first night, I didn't see a drop of blood whatsoever, and found her and tell that she was hurt bad, and then when I opened her up, like, it was a fucking flood inside, just the holes just didn't line up after that. And that was a 45 caliber bullet.
It's wild.
I shoot down my muzzle loader.
It's wild. I think, like you explained and going over that with all of us, just what stuck with me is the, makes a lot of sense. I never thought of is, you know, like that the fat could end up covering up the hole and kind of plugging that wound and, until later. So
I mean, between the muscle tissue and all the, you have different pleuras inside your chest cavity. You've got the fat, you've got muscle, you've got the actual hide itself. Like it's all moving, and it's all moving in different directions depending on which way it's moving. So like it's a fucking crazy system that your body has. And so like don't get discouraged there.
And actually, so it's pretty cool. So for the listeners, Derek did a on-scene seminar, roughly about how blood flows through the body, and along those lines of something that you said really stuck out to me was that like two ships passing, right? That they're gonna crash, and that the holes don't always line up.
No.
So my most recent doe that I shot her at 35 yards through and through. I had good blood at the shooting site. I had the shittiest blood trail I've ever seen. I backed out, came back next morning, tracked her. She was 150 yards away. I was gutting her and just fucking blood just pouring out of her. And I was like, holy crap. It makes sense was that the holes weren't lined up and kind of like stopped itself up.
You got to think too.
Pretty wild.
As that cavity fills, if they start to change direction, it'll depend on whether they bleed more or bleed less. If you're heading uphill, that blood will flow back, and it might not, if you shoot up high, like you're supposed to be aiming, you're not going to get that blood. It's not very vascular in that chest cavity. Or at the chest wall. So you're not going to have an arterial bleed there. What the real damage on the inside with the vital organs. And if you're tilting back, you can bleed almost all the blood you have into your chest cavity. So if you're walking uphill, you might not get the blood flow that you're thinking, but then as they come back downhill, it might be buckets coming in. So just,
that's awesome. And you were saying also, right? Like, look for bright red blood if it's arterial and then like a darker blood if it was, ventricle.
Yeah, exactly. Veins.
Veins. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Veins.
It's going to be dark red because of the oxygen inside the blood for an arterial bleed. And then a vein is deoxygenated. So it's like a much more darker red.
So there's a bonus tip for you.
There you go. Shit. So, you got that one for free.
Hell.
Question two, might be good to ask. I've always known that if there's bubbles, it's typically a lung shot. Yes. Yeah,
correct.
Could it ever be there's bubbles in other blood that is not lung? Or that is strictly if you hit lung, you will see those.
It's gonna be strictly lung for the most part.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, as far as I know, because I mean that's the only place where air normally is. Like the oxygen that you're carrying through your body is in solution. It's not like in a bubble.
Right.
So if it should be kind of pink and bubbly, that's normally a lung shot for sure. Well, there you go, guys. Thanks for joining us. Another Tuesday Tips. We appreciate the holiday, guys, and we'll talk to you next time.